Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, which means you're listening to me, Deb Wolf. And today I have on the show someone we've had before, coming back to talk about the book, The Upstairs Cat. We have Jamie Alama. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Hi, Deb. Thank you so much for having me.
So what's The Upstairs Cat about?
The Upstairs Cat is a true story about my son's cat. And he got her when he was 8, a local shelter, and they lived in the same room. They shared the same room. I mean, he left, but she really never did. And then he went away to college, and there she was, all by herself in the room, and she had to go and explore the rest of the house. And the book takes the reader with her on her adventure to face her fears and the change and to explore the rest of the house and realize that she's loved on every level.
Oh, that's so sweet. What made you write this book?
Because actually I watched what she did and her braveness and the similarities that humans and animals have and the bond that we have. And, you know, we do have this relationship, human-animal, and she really did miss him. And so she needed to seek out that companionship just as humans do. And so watching her just proved to me how important it is to face change with, you know, clarity and inspiration. And it really is. It's an inspiring, uplifting story and really positive. She found loving animals and humans, and her world was just as bright. And actually now she goes up and down the stairs all the time.
Who is your intended audience for the book? Because it sounds like you're trying to help people. What kind of people aimed at?
Mm-hmm. I am. It's really... I guess our target audience is between 1 and 11, but this book affects everyone. And I've made it a picture book because adults hold it and read it, and they really get more from it because they've experienced, of course, more life, more changes, and more fears. But it's for everyone, but because it is a picture book, it's, you know, for the young or the young at heart.
Yeah, they used to say, I remember they used to give out shocking facts. They used to try and shock us when we were in college and say, when you get older, you're going to have 8 jobs in your lifetime. Your parents only had 1 or 2, but you're going to need 8 jobs. I don't even know what the number is now. How many houses? How many marriages? There's a lot of changes in store for all of us, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, and even as a kid, you know, if they have like older siblings that move away or that their parents divorce or whatever, I mean, change is inevitable no matter how old you are. And it's one of these things that we kind of just, you know, throw away to the wayside because we don't really discuss it with our kids until it really happens. So here is a book, a really beautifully illustrated, fun, colorful book that explains it, but like in a very delicate way. But change is change no matter how old you are.
Now, I know there's a special connection here with the publisher, Open Door Publishing. What's the connection between the book and the publisher?
I'm the publisher, actually, and the reason, and we're a nonprofit, and the reason I did that was so that I have more control, so I know where the money goes. I don't make anything from these books, but what I do is a portion of the sales of every book goes to local charities that we support that have either saved the lives of my animals or helped me personally in some way. And they're very, very little organizations, so they solely depend on private funds and private donations. And so as a nonprofit, we're able to get donations for the nonprofit to be able to make more of these books because The Upstairs Cat is the first book of a series of 5. And we also are able to give back to these charities that, you know, save lives each and every day.
Wow, what a terrific way to give back. So was the Upstairs Cat himself part of a rescue?
Yes, actually, it's a she, and yes, she was. She was actually at a local kill shelter. And And so we saved her life. But, you know, again, she saved ours too. Isn't that what all animals do when you rescue them in some way? They save you as much as you save them.
I think, and I've had both. I've had animals that are born at my home because I breed golden doodles and standard poodles, and occasionally I keep one for breeding later, keep it as a pet. So I've had animals truly born to me, never knew a day without me, and I've had animals I've rescued as puppies and kittens. Kittens 3 weeks old that had to be nursed. I've had older cats rescued, older dogs rescued. I find rescue animals are more grateful than animals who never went without, animals who never knew hunger, never knew fear, never knew cold, never knew exposure to the sun and the elements, never knew a day without. Those animals that knew what it was like to not have a human on their side and not be cared for, once you give them reliable care they can count on, that not just love, but actual food they know about, exercise they can count on, a safe place without getting screamed at and yelled at and mixed messages, a place where they know what their role is and people like having them around. Once they have that, and it's, you know, an interesting full life with lots of touching and entertaining things like car rides, and if it's a cat, you know, play with toys and things like this. Once they have that, they're so grateful. They'll do anything for you. They'll, in one case, a cat risked fire to save its owners, you know. I mean, they'll do anything for you because you're their savior, quite literally. So I see where you're coming from on that one.
Yes, no, 100%. But you know what? It's also the same with people. If people grow up in a house, and even if they do have shelter or whatever, but they're in an abusive house in some way, shape, or form, they have even more fear. So again, it's the loving environment that we all need and that we all cherish, just like our animals. And that's exactly what this book is, just the human-animal bond, the similarities that we have, the love that we all need. And again, some humans need to be rescued too, not only like foster kids and, you know, things like that, but just on a daily basis. You just got to love, you know, love everyone around you and give them just exactly what you said, you know, all the love that you can give, whether it be, you know, toys, a hug, read a book, anything and everything. We are so similar.
I think courtesy in public is a big deal. The other day, there was an elderly lady really struggling to lift her bags high enough to get them in her cart. And I helped her with that. And then I found her in the parking lot and helped her load her car. And she started to cry. And it just, you know, it made me sad that this doesn't happen to her every time she goes shopping. Right? Like, why is it so overwhelming for her that someone actually helped? So we got to help each other. I'm so glad your book's out there and people can help these animal rescues through you and get a beautiful picture book to share with kids and grownups alike. Where can they get this book? Where can they find out more about Open Door Publishing?
They can go to our website to find out as much information as they want at www.anopendoor.us. www.anopendoor.us, and they can donate, they can buy a book, they can do both. We have every option, and again, these books specifically are for raising awareness of these social issues, companionship, kindness, understanding, acceptance, tolerance, just like you said. That's exactly what it's for.
Talk All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I have a little go-to list today to go to in case one of my guests doesn't show up or I need to. It's all full of all these interesting tidbits and things. But I sometimes think about the fact that it's really hard to find good products. It's hard to find American-made products, Canadian-made, whatever, North American-made, tested, proved, non-imported. The packaging is tricky. And I can't necessarily be vigilant about everything, even with my eye for labels and my knowledge of how they trick us and my awareness of which companies to trust and not to trust, I still occasionally have some trouble with it. And so I have to rely on some of the people I trust. And that's why sometimes a good word from someone like Chris Rubin about a product goes a long way. So I'm quite interested myself in Bull Wrinkles. And we are going to talk about Adopt-A-Shelter, of course, today. We're going to talk about a big event, a Harley Davidson event. Rum, rum. We are. But before we get to that, I want to ask him about Bull Wrinkles. So welcome back to the show, Chris.
Thanks again for having me, Deb. Always a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for coming. So, okay, Bull Wrinkles. Is my dog going to like them?
Well, Bull Wrinkles is not only a brand, but a product that has been around for almost 30 years now. Essentially, it is heat-dried bull's penis, or pizzle, or beef muscle chew, depending on, like you said, which packaging you're looking at. This is a product that originated in Europe and migrated to the U.S. and North America via someone like myself, because I've been involved in that particular industry for as long as that product has been on the market. But as such, Bull Wrinkles is a wonderful, all-natural dog treat. And I'd love to elaborate on some of the packaging stuff you just mentioned, because I'm having to become an expert on all those things myself.
Oh, me too. People ask me everywhere I go things like, what about grain? Can I still feed myself grain, my dog grain? And, you know, all these other related questions. What about made in China? How do I know if, where can I get jerky? They all ask. Where can I get jerky that I can trust? And that's so tricky to answer, isn't it?
Well, what a lot of the large retailers have chosen to do after the big chicken jerky debacle is put in place food grade regimens, one of them being the Global Food Safety Initiative, or GFSI. So what that means is retailers who want to put their brand on treats want to have visibility from throughout the supply chain, from farm to phyto. And they want all of the ingredients to be North American and also verifiable, so that when they put forth these claims on their own packaging, they can sleep at night knowing that the consumer who picks up their product is going to be getting the best possible product. So one of the acronyms to look for on packaging or on a company website when you're doing research is, are they GFSI accredited under Safe Quality Foods? The acronym there is SQF. And what that means is they are treating all of the ingredients, all of the raw materials, the entire processing and packaging endeavor in a human food grade manner.
You know, this reminds me of what kosher people go through. They have to search and search and search labels to find this little tiny C with a circle and things like this. You know, it's exhausting. And that's why I'm glad I know about your product and some others that I know I can recommend. I know they're not cheating. I know they're really made here, not just packaged here, not scooting around, you know? Because usually
Absolutely.
The products that are cheating say in big letters the mistaken message, right? Like all natural or made in USA. And it's only in the little print that you figure out what's missing, that they weren't actually made in USA.
Well, the good news about the Bull Wrinkles product, and for all the listeners out there, please feel free to go to bullwrinkles.com. Please do so through adoptashelter.com. That would be the best way to do it, because they are part of our mall. But at the end of the day, what you're going to find there are all natural meat-based products. All of the raw materials come from the U.S. and Canada. They're all processed in a food-grade plant just outside of Toronto.
Oh, nice. Okay. So, let me see. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that they'd be from Toronto like me originally, but that's not so bad. Okay. So, what's going on with motorcycles and, you know, what's coming up? It's called Hogs Four Paws with the number four, hogsfourpaws.com. Okay. What is that, Chris?
So a dear friend of mine who is also involved in Adopt-A-Shelter is a Harley rider. He also happens to be the vice president of a motorcycle association called LAMA, Latin American Motorcycle Association. So one time he goes to the Global Pet Expo. He rides his Harley to Orlando. And Llama has a chapter in Orlando. They are very welcoming to Ken. He walks into this biker bar. Everybody is, you know, remember on Cheers when everybody would say, Norm?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're all like, Ken, what are you doing in Orlando? And he says, I came for the Global Pet Expo. And about that time, all the biker-clad men and women pulled out their cell phone and showed off their pets.
Yeah, some of the most tough, tattooed, hardened guys have the sweetest little bulldogs and pugs and Yorkies and pit bulls and dogs maybe you wouldn't expect at home. And cats, too. They've got the pet pics. It crosses the border, doesn't it? Tough guys like pets, too.
Absolutely. And so what then I did is I said, hey, Ken, why don't we have a benefit ride? And that was kind of just in passing. 10 minutes later, he had approval from all the presidents in the Dallas-Fort Worth chapters. We had a sponsoring dealership called American Eagle Harley-Davidson. And all of a sudden, we are pushing forward with a benefit ride on May 21st in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. If you are in that area, we would love to have you join. It's $25 to ride. The money goes to Our Pal. If you remember, Deb, Our Pal is a group we work with because they are like a shelter distributor, and with them we are doing the Cans to the Rescue campaign.
Oh, nice.
So it's a nice
tie-in.
Now, okay,
so what if someone doesn't ride a bike, but they want to participate? Can they just come view? Because this is going to be quite a parade, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it will end at the Dallas Pet Expo, which is going to be taking place that weekend as well. So we're going to marry up all these events in one particular location. And for all of those folks out there who would like to virtually ride, we have a component there. If you go to hogs4paws.com, you will see our flyer. You can read all about what we're doing and where we're doing it at. And underneath is a link, and you can click on that link, and you can virtually ride, and you will receive your own Hogs for Paws patch in the mail.
Oh, very cool. Hogs for Paws patch. Well, thank you so much. We have to go to break. Chris, be back in a moment on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I just figured out what many people, I'm sure, already knew, that my regular guest, Dusty Rainbolt, cat author extraordinaire, author of Cat Wrangling Made Easy, Ghost Cats, Kittens for Dummies, and other books, too, that she's really been involved and integral in Adopt a Shelter, which is Chris Rubin's project that he's come to share with us at Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. So I figured they're both going to be at that big show coming up. I'm jealous that I'm not going to be on the back of a Harley with a dog in my arms or something. But you know, and they get to go. So I thought I'd bring them both on the show to talk about it a little bit. So welcome back, Chris, and welcome, Dusty.
Well, thank you. You know, I always love being with you and your audience.
Thanks for coming to the show. And, Chris, this is a nice surprise that you two are already connected.
Like Dusty said on the break when you hooked her in, we've known each other for many moons. You mentioned the Cat Writers Association. That is where it all stems from. What a great organization. They've brought a lot of great people together and have done a lot of great things.
I don't know if that's how I first met Dusty. I'm not sure. I do remember interviewing Dusty about ghost cats years and years ago, and then Cat Wrangling Made Easy on a show I used to do for Kiss FM and CKOV AM radio, which was in so many cities. And I remember, Dusty, that the switchboards just lit up. People were calling, and it was around Halloween, and they couldn't wait to tell their ghost cat story and their ghost dog story. And now it's so many years later, and are you going to be on the back of a Harley, Dusty?
I would love to be on the back of a Harley. I don't think that's going to happen, but I would
Chris,
love it.
Come on now, Chris. I think you're the guy who can make that happen.
Well, now that I know she wants to, I'll definitely make the arrangements.
Oh, well, just make sure I have a helmet.
I want to see the pictures on, you know, Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Let's post them. Let's see Dusty on the back of a bike. That'll be great.
Hey, I have a pink motorcycle, a pink metallic motorcycle jacket. So that'll be perfect.
Well, as every cat lady should, really.
Of course.
Of course. I'm sure you'll be the only one with the pink in the sea of men riding.
I have no doubt.
But most of the other guys are all going to be in black, so she is going to stand out.
Well, she has red hair, and she's beautiful. I think there's going to be a bit of a battle for who gets to ride with the cat lady. That's what I think.
We'll create one, for sure. It's going to be a great event.
Oh, good.
So tell us a little bit about it, you guys. What's planned, Chris? What's going on?
The plan is we are going to have a nice pancake and sausage breakfast at this wonderful, brand-new Harley-Davidson dealership called American Eagle. They're just north of Dallas and Corinth. So we're going to sign the people up. Again, I told you about the fact that we have a virtual ride component. Anybody from the country can simply click on that link. They can make a $25 donation directly to our pal, and they will still get their official AdoptTheShelter.com Hogs for Paws patch. Now, that being said, we're going to register as many people as we can. We're going to feed them breakfast. Kickstands up at 10. Hopefully, we create some real havoc on the road where we have to shut it down because there are so many riders. And they are going to proceed from just about 30 miles north of Dallas into the downtown area where they will end up at Dallas Market Hall at the 7th Annual Dallas Pet Expo.
Okay, now, Dusty, I know you weren't planning on the ride, but it looks like I got you into something there. That's okay.
It looks like you did.
Now, once you get there, what can people expect, Dusty?
Well, I think that's actually a Chris question, because he's the spearhead of this whole thing.
Well, what people can expect is, obviously, the Dallas Pet Expo is a wonderful event. They have a mega adoption area where there will be dozens of groups adopting out animals. There will also be over 100 exhibitors showing off the latest pet products and services from your local area. And our pal, the organization for whom we are doing this ride, is also using it as another megaphone to broadcast that we have these 500,000 cans of super premium dog food that we want to give to Texas shelters to help feed especially the special need and senior animals who need it.
Isn't that fabulous?
That's amazing. I can hardly believe that. You see, you have food and you need people to come get it for the shelters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Amazing. Amazing. So if you're out there and you run a nonprofit, you run a shelter that's doing good and saving animals, especially if it's connected to seniors, and you want canned food, because of course you would, what's better? It lasts longer. It's good for those dogs who can't crunch anymore, who may have missing teeth and gum problems, arthritis in the jaw, all kinds of problems make dogs and cats, right, Dusty, have trouble with the hard, dry food.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think this is a dog specific, isn't it, Chris?
It is, because that's what the manufacturer had on hand.
And besides, you're not going to see very many cats on a Harley.
Well, you know what?
The good news is at the Dallas Pet Expo, there will be a Tika cat show taking place during that particular expo, which is unique to the overall amazing Pet Expo circuit. So that should be really, really cool.
Absolutely.
Oh, Dusty's listening now. Yeah, I've been to shows like that where there's dogs in the one building and cats in the other. And I find my standard poodle can go both ways. She can go into the cat area. She's all groomed to the hilt. She's got impeccable manners, and she is a cat fancier. She's well-mannered. Nobody seems to even notice that she's there, which is really interesting because she's a crowd stopper most places. She's a redhead too, Dusty.
Well, sounds like she and I would get along great. But I will say that I am going to be there. I'll be signing books and talking to people. So, you know, if you want to come meet me, come on out to the Dallas Pet Expo. I'd love to see you.
I had so much fun taking my daughter and my dog the last time we went. It was kind of by accident. We were at a dog show, and we ended up stumbling onto the cat area. And right away, for $2, we bought these little hairband things. Normal hairband, but it had cat ears on it. And we put one on the dog, and one on my daughter. And we just had a fabulous time looking at all these different cats and learning about all these different cats and just walking through the whole area and seeing all the stuff for sale. And some of them look like tigers, and some of them are unexpectedly huge or tiny or strange. So it was really quite cool. Okay, so what we've got to go very soon, Chris. We're going to have Dusty stay with us for another segment on cats. But is there anything else you want to add, Chris, about Adopt a Shelter or the Pet Expo?
All I want to say is this. You can go to hogsforpaws.com. You can find out the information you need. Hogs, the number four, paws.com. It tells you everything you need to know in terms of that particular event. And as always, Father's Day is coming up. Graduation is coming up. We've got hundreds of wonderful merchants. Click through adoptashelter.com. Go to your favorite store. Remember Dad. Remember the grads. They've certainly been working hard on getting those grades. So that's all I have for you today, my dear.
Oh, well, Dusty, if you don't want your patch, I'll take it. I'll wear it proudly. I will.
Yeah,
we might
sure
be able to
one,
work
Deborah.
Something out.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay, well, thank you, Chris, and thank you. Dusty, stay with us. We're going to talk cats coming up next on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
Listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And while I was waiting for Dusty to come on earlier today, right when I sat down, my cat seemed to know, oh, she's on Skype. She has the headset on. Let's go bother her. I don't know what it is about me being on radio, but they really, really want to be involved. So one of them came over, one of the younger ones, one of the rescues, and she started clawing at my chair. Now, she knows where the cat scratch is. It's not 10 feet away from here. I could see it. She came in here to get my attention. And she did it negatively by clawing at the chair. So I thought, well, what would Dusty do? And I did something. So now I'm going to ask her, Dusty Rainbow, what would you do if that happened?
Divert her attention with a toy and get her involved in something else. So
okay, well, the thing is, though, I thought about that, but I thought if I redirect and praise or reward her in any way, she'll know that radio time is not my time where she can't bug me. She'll learn bug mummy, mummy will play, because they're pretty clever, these cats. So
they are
she
very clever.
Intentionally chose not to do the cat scratch, instead to come bother me. So I didn't do that. I started to redirect her to this little ball on the floor and kick it with my foot. And then I realized, no, she'll be doing that all through my radio show if I don't watch
it. You'll hear that little bell the whole time.
Ding, ding. Yeah, it'll be up on the computer. Then she'll sit on my computer because that won't work anymore, right? She'll up the ante, up the ante. So what else can I do? I will not spray her with water. I don't want to ever do that. And I know a lot of people out there, that's what they would do. Or they would shake a can of pennies, which I've done occasionally for dogs in different situations, like chasing chickens or, you know, something like that. But I do not do that. In one case, stalking a budgie, a pet bird. But I do not do that easily or liberally, and I won't do that for cats. What do you do when a cat's doing something you want to stalk like that?
Well, in your case, since you know this is a behavior you can expect, maybe you can just lock him out of the room when you're, or her out of the room when you're preparing to do your show.
Prevention. No, I should have shut the door, and I didn't. And you're right. And part of why I didn't is because I like it when they're very cuddly with me while I'm on the radio. I just don't want to play, right? But yeah, so I could maybe kick them out when they misbehave. But if they show me the behavior I like, the cuddling, scoop them up and attempt to cuddle them. And if they accept that, let them stay. Right?
Yeah,
but
maybe
if they
even
get wild,
maybe even reward her when she does that. But if it becomes a problem, then just don't make it a problem. Put them out, and it is hard to concentrate on questions and such when they're walking across your keyboard and scratching on your leg and That never happens to me.
Oh, no, never. Okay, so some of this is about timing. I notice people sometimes when they come here, they're doing everything right, but just at the wrong time. So they have this dog that's pulling on leash, and they're correcting it, and they're praising it, but they're praising it when it's pulling, and they're correcting it when it's good, and they got it all right. So sometimes it's a matter of rewarding the thing you like. So right after you see the thing you like, or while it's actually happening, reward the thing you like. And that's very basic training. Once in a while, though, you get a cat or a dog, especially a cat, who's been terrific. Right? It's a no-brainer. It just, there's nothing wrong with this cat. No training issues whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, there are training issues. And sometimes I get called in as a trainer to deal with this. It's really not a training problem. Have you found this too, Dusty?
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of people don't bother to, quote, train cats. But what I have found, and research shows, that any time an animal has a sudden change in behavior, that really needs to be investigated by a vet. And it could be something as simple as he doesn't like his food. He doesn't want to jump up on his favorite sleeping place. Maybe he's afraid to go to the litter box, or maybe he doesn't go to the litter box. It could be any change in behavior.
Won't go upstairs, and, won't go downstairs. If it's a dog, won't get in the car. If it's a cat, doesn't want to sleep where he used to sleep, won't eat anymore, won't drink anymore, won't, and this is your favorite, I hate to say it, but it's your favorite, won't use the litter box.
But also, things as kind of unexpected as drinking more, drinking less, peeing more, peeing less. All of these things, you know, you might not pay a whole lot of attention to, but they're actually very important, and they are symptoms of health problems. And so a lot of behavior issues are even things like aggression. They're suddenly aggressive to a cat that they've slept with for 10 years. They're suddenly lashing out at people. These are all symptoms of illness. And
in dogs, too. If you get a sudden behavior change, it doesn't make sense. Dogs don't just all of a sudden. Normally, when I get a dog who's aggressive, we can trace it back. I say, is this the first time he's ever bit anybody? And one person who's in denial will say, yes, he's never done anything like this before. And then someone else will say, well, actually, he snapped at my girlfriend and he growled at the nanny. And there was the one time he bit the neighbor's dog. And you get this sense that it was a little bit here, and then a little bit further, and then a little bit further. And the dog was testing. And now he's got an aggression problem that we have to deal with. If only they'd called me the first time, but and not been in denial. But if the dog just goes from loving everybody to all of a sudden being quite aggressive, something's wrong. And it's usually a vet answer. So there's no There's no point in wasting all kinds of time and money on training if actually he's sick, he's in pain. Your cat isn't making it to the litter box because she has a bladder issue or an infection, or he does. Maybe crystals, right?
Maybe, or even something, an older pet may have arthritis or joint disease. I guess arthritis is joint disease. But again, the same thing with dogs. If you're suddenly having elimination problems, aggression problems, go to the vet. It could be losing weight. It could be a dental issue. It could be a tumor. It could be anything.
And it could be something cheap and easy to fix. Don't think, oh, well, the cat's only worth $20 to replace. I'm not going to take it to the vet for this, you know, and then you let it suffer. That doesn't make sense. Or you think it's a training problem and you start scolding it on top of everything else. Now you're going to have hidden, secret, inappropriate elimination, which I think is worse. So don't be doing that. Don't be scolding a dog or a cat for making the mistake. If it's a dog, you take it to the place you want and you praise it like crazy for being good and getting it right. And you time it. You control it in a really small area so you can always rush it outside. When I've had an older dog that comes to me unhouse trained, I'll actually tether it to my waist so we're attached. So we can just go together every time it needs to go. And there are no secret spots. But you definitely want to rule out the vet. So, Dusty, we've run out of time in our second segment. How can people find out more and get the book if they have this problem of inappropriate elimination. Because once you rule out the vet, there's a whole new world to look at, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes these diseases are very sneaky and hard to figure out. And I go into a great deal of detail about medical issues in the book. It's not available yet. It will be available in September. It's called Cat Scene Investigator, Solve Your Cat's Litter Box Mystery.
Well, and you may think you have it handled now. I thought I did. I was pretty smug about it all. Mm-hmm. And then one of my cats just started to, well, I guess you helped me figure out, it's her age. She couldn't mm-hmm. see it anymore. So she needed a completely different box with no lid in a no step, no trouble area. And once I got that all organized, she hasn't had an accident since. So I could have, if I was that kind of person, ended up putting down a cat or sending a cat to a shelter for a problem that was fixable with mm-hmm. just a plain old basin for her to use with some litter in it. Nothing fancy. Nothing expensive. Costs about $2 at the dollar store. Like, so simple. So anyway, get the book. Check out Dusty Rainbolt. And Dusty, we got to go to break, I'm afraid. I got to say goodbye. I hope you enjoy your motorcycle ride.
Well, I will report back next week if you want me to, or I guess week after next. It'll be great. And, I look forward to it. And thank you to you and your listeners. And it's good talking to everybody.
All right. If you want to meet Dusty, check out the Pet Expo. If you want to meet Chris or go to Adopt a Shelter or check out Dusty for the inappropriate elimination. Sounds so delicate. We'll be back in a moment on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with Becky Starr talking about air travel.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and we were talking about elimination, but, you know, in case you don't know what inappropriate elimination is, such a fancy term, it's the cats who don't do it in the litter box. That's what we were talking about that whole last segment. In case you were lost, wondering what they eliminate, that's what they're supposed to eliminate, that's where they're supposed to eliminate, and for those of you who don't own cats, sometimes they get it wrong. Usually because there's something wrong with them, which is what Dusty was saying. But once you rule out the something wrong with them, then there's all kinds of reasons they can go off their litter box. Like not enough, in a noisy place, wrong kind of litter, all sorts of stuff. It's a whole cat box of possibilities. And so that's why Dusty wrote that book she was talking about. Now we're taking a turn on toward air travel with Becky Starr, who comes to us representing Canadian Dogs, Animal Wellness, Equine Wellness, Feline Wellness, and a couple other journals, IVC and AHVMA Journal, both trade journals, all magazines in the pet industry. So from Redstone Media, we welcome Becky Starr. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Deb. Hi, gang. Hi, pet lovers. Yes, we're on our final journey today, literally.
The final journey, as they tease me on TV, showing me this high-speed train that's going to get me to Toronto from Vancouver in 4 hours, get me to California, and like, you know, I could eat a sandwich and be there, and there is not going to come out in my lifetime, I'm guessing. So I gotta fly. I still to fly. I can't take my pets. Why can't I take my pets? I don't want them in the heat. So never to Arizona, never to Mexico. I can't do layovers. I can't do transfers. I might have to drug them. Oh my gosh, what do I do if I have to fly with my pet, Becky?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Fortunately, times are they're changing, as they say, and there are so many options now. Today we're going to just give some quick tips of what you can do, what to watch out for, how to be careful and not create the planes, trains, and automobile movie that we've seen with all the disasters that come with that. We've covered the buses, we've covered the trains, we've covered the car, so we've got the planes. First of all, like I was saying, things change all the time. So the biggest thing is for you to do your homework. when planning a flight either with your pet or flying your pet without you. And whether you're flying with your pet or it's flying without you, it's important to choose an airline that serves the entire route from beginning to end. You want to try to not have the layover situation unless your pet is traveling with you, because then they can jump off the plane with you. They're still in your arms and you don't have to worry about them sitting on a runway in frozen, icing snow, 100-degree weather, or they miss their flight and you don't know where they end up. So once you find that airline, you need to really know their pet policies. And will the airline allow your dog or cat to fly in the cabin with you? The restrictions basically on all airlines are 20 pounds and under in a carrier. They can go on the plane with you, but you have to book that way ahead because they only allow a certain amount of animals in the cabin on the plane each flight. So you want to plan at least a month or more ahead to make sure that pet can travel at the same time you're going to be traveling in. Or the next big thing is, even if you go on the internet and you read all the regulations, they can be outdated. You arrive at the airport to find out that you are not flight ready. So I have been through it myself. Contact corporate office of any of the airlines that you intend to use and make sure you get the updated regulations. This includes carriers, crate sizes, limitations, what is required for current medical records, etc. Now, of course, if you have a service dog, all rules are gone. They can be any size, any color, any shape, anything, and there are no regulations or limitations to a service dog. You just have to prove they're a service dog. Now, something you said a minute ago, you want to take into consider the type of the year and the weather conditions. There are many airlines out there that will not transport if it's too hot or too cold. This is for the safety of your pet, and it's a good policy. Flat-nosed pets especially are affected in severe conditions.
So that's the squish faces, the dogs that look like they had an accident with a brick wall, the boxers and the Boston Terriers and the pugs. Anybody with a squished-in face has trouble breathing just at the best of times. So they really can't handle this sort of stuff. It's the same with kennel cough. Kennel cough is more serious for them than everybody else. It just hits them harder. They just don't have the room in there for swollen parts.
That's right. So if you have a flat-nosed dog, know that you are not going to be getting on any plane that has severe weather conditions. Now, you may be like me, and I live in LA, and my weather's, just fabulous, mid-70s, sun's out, all great. But maybe you're traveling to a destination or you have a layover in a destination that weather conditions are not perfect for your animal. And so it doesn't matter where you're coming from. It matters where you're going to the end result. So, weather changes everywhere we go. So that's a big consideration when you're going to fly with your pet, that you plan the time of the year that airline will facilitate them to come on the plane. The next thing, all airlines require a current health certification, proof of vaccinations, but there's a certain time limit involved. So let's say that you just had your physical with Vito or Fifi in January, but you're going to take a trip in August or September, so you think, well, they just got checked this year, everything's fine. That is not correct. Usually there's a 30-day time limit of what they want currently. So once you find that required date, make sure you set up an appointment with your vet that will comply within that date that the airline accepts. Now, something else.
Oh, that's a tricky one. Holy.
Yeah, that's very important for people to know.
Because a place like mine, you got to have your paperwork up to date every year. You show me vaccine proofs that you've had Bordetella, which is kennel cough vaccine, rabies and booster in the last year, you're good to come here. And then next year, if you don't have it, I call your vet and he tells me himself, or he faxes it or emails it to me as a PDF and I have it on file. That's what I want to see. The border is stricter, you're telling me. They want the vet to say this animal's healthy enough to travel, and I've seen it in the last month. And I understand why they want that.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yes, they're not going to revaccinate or redo anything. They just want a physical checkup within. Some of them will allow you a 60-day period, but it's on the way there. So don't panic, right? So let's say that you're going to take a trip and they want a current 30-60 day checkup with your vet to make sure, because that pet could have caught anything in between, you know, last January to August. So yes, it is important for you to set that vet appointment to comply with the current regulations of the airline. Now, the good part is that let's say that you're taking off and you're going away for a month or 2 months. It is not regulated for you to come back to do it again.
Oh, nice. Okay.
They will accept the original, you know, vet. Now, maybe if you're going
to
be gone a year.
I have to give you some bad news, Becky. Yeah,
if you're
going to
a year.
Bad news right now.
That could
not
work.
I got bad news for you, Becky. We are not finished this topic.
Oh, my God.
We are not. And we are finished the segment. That's right. I have not even covered what they have to pack, how they have to train their dog to get it used to it. What about sedatives?
Yep.
You think you can cover that in a minute? Because we have a minute,
We
Becky.
Can do real quick. Okay, so the most important thing, we've already covered the two things. Make sure the current tags are up to date. You have all their information with you. Discuss the point with your vet to have a medication for relaxation, because no matter how calm your pet is, that altitude, the sound, the change can affect the heart rate, the breathing. It can cause some real damage. So whether you want to go natural or with a med, have it handy.
And you know what? I recommend you ask your vet for more than what you need so you can do a trial dose at home.
That's right.
Make sure your pet isn't allergic or overreacting. I once gave a wolf cross a dose, and he was knocked off his butt for like 3 days when we did the trial dose. It was only supposed to lightly sedate him. He wasn't that nervous a guy, you know. He really didn't need it. So other animals might need the full dose. So, and every animal is a little bit different, just like us with meds. Becky, you really think?
Yep. So that's important. I don't care if you're against meds or natural. Find something to keep them calm when you get on the plane. Make sure they have a favorite blankie, a chew toy, a little bit of water. Take them potty, you know, before you walk into the airline. Feed them early so that they don't have to poop while you're on the plane. And keep them anxiety ridden. And you're good to go.
And anytime you're